round weekend is underway, and it's Wakefield Trinity on the attack to start with. Sorry, Leeds Rhinos on the attack to start with. Wakefield Trinity on the attack to start with.
Who's on the attack, Sharon?
No idea.
Morning, world. Yes, I'm Rob London. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, as the Strait of Hormuz closes and petrol prices spiral higher than a Jonathan Davis up and under, where are my two crude oil podcasters? Firstly, an old-timer accustomed to pumping out statistics slower than a tanker trying to sneak through the Gulf. Why? It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also introducing a man whose grasp of Middle Eastern diplomacy is the same as his knowledge of the six again rule. Yes, here to provide the podcast's emergency fuel supply is Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, gentlemen? I'm a bit, I wouldn't say under the weather, but it's the first podcast recording I've done this season where it's still dark. Autumn has hit Sydney. Mm. And I've got a bit of an injury as well. Oh, yesterday. Yeah, I've had to have it scanned. 2 days ago, I was having a wee, and I went to put it away. I was just putting it away, and somehow I twisted my ankle, and I've done all the ligaments in my ankle.
Are you pissing like the dog now?
No, it's not like I was just putting the old fella away, and my whole left ankle gave way. I had to call Mrs. London. It's harrowing. Anyway. That's me. How about you, Sam? What have you been up to?
Not an awful lot. I've had man flu.
Fuck's sake.
Dennis, have you got anything positive? Anything positive to start?
Because I've just been... just before we started, I mean, you might want to drop that Sharon Shortle little soundbite, because like, we were discussing whether we've recorded Wakefield.
Yeah, we have had a little bit of an emergency this morning. We sat down to record the podcast and didn't remember any of us actually what we're reviewing. And to the life of me, Dennis and I don't think we've ever played Wakefield. When did we play Wakefield?
I don't know.
Two Saturdays ago.
Right, fair enough. Okay, well, let's bring this back round then. So, the review of York away. The team was Kai Taylor-Ray, Josh Thewlis, Toby King, Albert Habawati, Josh Smith, George Williams and Mark Sneed. Front row was Luke Yates, Danny Walker, Liam Byrne. The back three, Sam Stone, James Harrison and Ben Curry. Interchange bench was Toa Foa Sipley, Geordie Crowther, Joe Philbin and Kalepi Tanganawa. So, on a cold night in the Yorkshire capital, would Wyre sink or swim? Here's the highlights.
Down the line, Walker back inside for Sam Stone. Sam Stone going for the line, and he's got the ball down. That's Warrington's first try. Curry just brings it back as Williams now looking for the long ball. Out wide to the corner, it comes off the hands of Thewlis. Thewlis over in the corner. Kai Taylor-Ray still going here, racing for the corner, and he ghosted his way through the York Knights defence there as if they didn't exist. McShane goes to his right once more. High ball over the top there for Ben Jones-Bishop to go running at the corner. Ben Jones-Bishop somehow manages to smash his way through the Warrington defence. They're finding a bit of space here. They're finding a lot of space here. They could be all the way. Mataafa, has he got space? He's got support. He has. McShane gets it out. Richardson looked as if he was going to kick. Mataafa now. Mataafa going for the line again.
Oh, it's over.
Unbelievable. Goes back to Sneed. Sneed with to Stone. Stone hanging his way through the line again. And Sam Stone gets a double for Warrington Wolves. the short ball. Finding Williams. Crash ball for Williams. And George Williams goes over for Warrington Wolves. Incoming comes to Curry. Curry's got it down. He thinks he's scored here. Referee agrees. Clipped over the top here for Sam Wood. Wood, can he wriggle away from the defenders? Gets the ball away with the offload to D. Finding Matt Darfur. It might come to Vaughan. It has come to Vaughan. Oh, I don't believe it. Forward from Richardson. Oh! And come to Harris! It has come to Harris! Would you believe it? What a game this is turning out to be! Trying to push his way through Sam Stone and offloading into the corner. Pulis is there! Well, the game goes one way, then it goes the other. It is such a topsy-turvy match.
Final score, York 30, Warrington 38. There were two tries for Stone, two for Thulis, Taylor Ray, Williams and Curry. Conversion, Sneed kicked 5 from 7. Referee was Liam Poor. Attendance was just over 6,000. Well, Sam, you were there. Was it up and down, back and two, topsy-turvy, higgledy-piggledy, discombobulated or just shit?
Well, it wasn't shit. I really enjoyed myself.
You didn't enjoy yourself that much because one of your WhatsApp messages we got through was, I'm that cold, it took me nearly a minute to coax my cock to come out from inside my body.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to leave that for the crescendo of the review.
I don't think your cock is any crescendo, to be fair, Sam.
talk us in, Sam. Did you go on your own? Or did I? I went on my own.
Oh, Norman, no, mates.
What was that drive like on your own there, just driving all the way to York?
So I actually really enjoyed it because in terms of shit, I'd had a real shit week at work, not just in terms of so much to do, and I wasn't going to go, and I made a last minute decision to go. Mm. And the drive was nice and straightforward, busy, it was a Friday night, parking was easy, all the things that Dennis used to tick off on his I've been to an away match.
Yes, because I was asking you, wasn't I? Could you do a tackle bags remote like for this? Because I've not been to York, so it's quite interesting.
Is the ground within a throw, you know, a stone's throw of the Minster? Is it close or
No. It's outside of the town. It's on a relatively new business park. It's
what
clean.
What year was the business
tidy.
Park built? You got the stats on that?
Just let me Google. 14 years ago, planning permission was granted.
Thank you.
There you go. And I suppose for anyone who hasn't been, it was a little bit like Lee Sports Village, only smaller. A smaller ground, but more around it. And
do you think we've got any viewers left at this point?
No. No, we might not have any listeners either.
No, this is all good information. If you're thinking of going York this year, this is for, you know, everybody's like thinking, oh, we should look at York. And in the back of what Sam's telling us here, they'll probably think, oh, yeah, I might have a trip to York. Go on, Sam.
I feel our warm-up has been a bit like Warrington's used to be about 30 years ago. They all used to come out and not really do anything. And then I remember when we had the first Super League game we had against Cronulla, you know, when they came over and they played. And they were all doing things and throwing the ball around and stretching. And was like, oh, what's this? What's this before kickoff? Remember that? That bloke got his cock out and ran down the field. Remember that, the stripper? Yeah. Happy days, wasn't it?
Anyway, genuine now. A good little stadium. Had a nice drive over. I decompressed. I think that's the word we use these days. I decompressed by the time I got there.
But your tyres weren't decompressed after you left, so that's a good sign.
My tyres weren't decompressed, no, exactly. A steak pie and a coffee. I tell you what, there wasn't much green available on the menu. It was all pies, pastries and hot dogs. And then we got into the game, which started brilliant, didn't it?
Oh, that's right. We got to a good lead, didn't we? Were we 18-0 up at the start.
We got to a good lead.
How were you with the colour clash when they came out? I was watching this in black and white. I'm struggling.
Yeah, when they were down the far end, it looked like there was a team of bees playing a team of wasps.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Not going to pick and clue who was who.
I had no problem at all. What the fucking hell's up with you two? Jesus Christ.
It's early for me. I can't focus on the screen. And it came out and I was like, oh. And it also confused me because Vaughan came out in the waspy colour or the buzz colour, and that threw me as well. So, yeah, it was an optical illusion for me in the first couple of minutes. And the fact we scored 18 points, I didn't think it was right.
when they were in the half where I was sat, no problem. The further away they got, the more it would just look like two teams with horizontal dark and white stripes on.
I'll just say to the listener that just before we started recording this podcast, Sam said he can't see his screens, even though they're 18 inches in front of him.
And they're 26 inches each. You get a suntan off these.
Why did you sit right at the edge of
why did you sit in the middle? Down the end?
I was sitting in my allocated area.
God.
Never bother with that. I just sit anywhere with a free seat. Jesus.
It was a good following. There was a strong following from Warrington, I have to say. All in good spirits and singing along some rude songs about Mr. Dufty.
How many of them are unemployed that go to that?
It has come to my attention that literacy levels north of the river in Warrington are disappointingly low. While this does explain the Warrington Guardian website, it does present a small obstacle when attempting to understand basic written language. If you have never knowingly completed a book, I recommend beginning your journey at a place known as a library. Inside you will find many paper-based information rectangles. They open. You may wish to start with the very hungry caterpillar before progressing to texts containing more than 3 syllables per page. However, if words appear to move, fight back, or simply refuse to cooperate, you are not alone. For help, you can contact the UK National Literacy Trust on 020-7587-1842. And here you will find friendly humans who will assist you in decoding sentences longer than a team sheet. Additionally, reducing the consumption of fluorescent blue drinks that cause pancreatic ulcers, high blood pressure, salt-contented pizza twists, or emulsified saturated fat-riddled chicken burgers may improve your cognitive function. Perhaps try vegetables and water. This is not a punishment, and combined with light exercise, you may discover reading becomes fun. You surely wish to be able to read the league table when Warrington eventually win the title. So you've got plenty of time to learn. Because let's face it, that's fucking years away.
Kai Taylor Race performance. Missing for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Following a torn hamstring picked up in training. Now, I know the Iranians are winning the war through attrition, but is this the Super League season of attrition?
Well, you did predict it, Mr. London, didn't you? You did say that.
Did you?
When he played at Wakefield, remember?
Yeah.
You said that you'd probably end up getting injured or something like that after dropping a ball. He dropped the ball a couple of times.
I sat next to a chap at the Lee game whose son played with him. And I said, what do you think? And he said straight away, he said he won't last many games, unfortunately. Lovely lad, but he gets injured all the time. And as we said, he's done this chasing Matty Ashton down, hasn't he, at training or something? They're running around. But I hate to be proven right. I hate to be proven right. I'm like the Simon Cowell, aren't I? Everyone despises me, but ultimately, I get it right most weeks.
So I'd like us to come back to Kai Taylor-Ray a little later.
Okay. All right. Okay. Philbin's performance then and his new haircut. What did we make of that? It's taken years off him, hasn't it? You think?
Oh. Well, let me just have a look here. Where did he get? His average gain wasn't that great, was it? It was average. It was average, 6.6. How many metres did he make?
Did he drop the ball in this game or was that Wakefield? Where he dropped the ball.
Yeah. He only made 46 metres. So The stats are not changing. His haircut has.
Top forward was Harrison, average gain of 9.4. Sipley, 9. We'll come on to him in the news section. Stone at 8.1. Philbin, 6.6. Yates, 6.3. Byrne, 5.8. Curry, 5.6. Tanganawa, 4.9. Powell made an appearance. He did play.
He did.
He carried it for 11 metres. Top metres again was Taylor Ray, 198. Smith, 153. King, 117. Hapawati, 107. Is that the norm for all good teams, Sam? That sort of the backs are making more metres now than the forwards?
Well, in particular the fullback. The fullback. When you think about it, not only the most of the forwards not on the field for 80 minutes, but your fullback is returning kicks and so are wingers. And wingers are often used bring the ball out of defence while the forwards get back on field. So, yes, it is not unusual at all to have your fullback as your leading metre gain. But average gain is key. Gain is key. And I think that's where Walker in particular is coming in.
It's funny you mentioned about fullbacks. I only watched a little bit of NRL, but I noticed that, you know, we've got this policy at Warrington where we run our fullback in on the fifth tackle for a quick play of the ball, I presume. Yeah. In the NRL, their fullbacks run on the second tackle as well. So just thought I'd put that out there. Because especially when they're on their own line, I think they see it as like an opportunity to just, you know, get that first 10, 12, 15 metres and take the pressure off. So that's a sign of a good fullback, I reckon.
And if you think about it, Dennis, I'll appreciate not a fullback, but when you cast your mind back to us having Charnley and Lynham on either wing, they were both used very early in the tackle count to get those 8 to 10 metres, try and win penalties, try and win quick play the balls.
I did everything but cast my mind back because I can't remember where
you did. Either.
Did you see the NRL? The guy, he got the most tries ever and they all came running onto the pitch.
Yes.
Did you see that? I was like, oh, fuck off. I nearly turned it off at that because he's about, 9 billion tries behind Brian Bevan. And they were carrying on like it was, they were saying he was the most tries ever scored. No. Most tries ever scored in the NRL, but they all got carried on. And then at one point, the Prime Minister came on the pitch. Yes. He ran on the pitch. When Bevan scored his last try, did the Prime Minister of Britain run? Who was the Prime Minister of Britain? Was it Chamberlain? Google that, Sam? Can you have a look and see? Who was, when Bevan scored his last try for Blackpool, I think it would have been...
This is the third time we've Googled on this podcast. I don't think we've ever done it before. Something changed.
Coming into line. Hey, have you got that AI agent now to do all your work? You know, it was ChatGPT. Well, it's ChatGPT, and you just type into a little box, and it gives you all the information. Now you can just hand your computer over to the AI agent this week, and it does it all. It does everything.
Does it?
Yeah. Just say, normal day, please, and off it goes. You can just go out for the day.
That's good, isn't it? Sam can't look. He's still typing. Yeah, I mean, he'd probably take him the most of the morning to type it.
God, two fingers for sure.
Yeah, it would with me two fingers. Sir Alec Douglas Hume was Prime Minister.
Right. Did he run onto the pitch when Bevan scored his final?
Apparently, he doesn't mention it on Wikipedia.
Okay. That's fair enough.
The captain's challenge was reviewed by a camera angle that didn't catch the footage and had a frame rate of one frame every 4 weeks. Discuss.
So this is where this was a bit with about 5 minutes to go, wasn't it? Ten at the most. And this was where I left my captain's challenge signaled. This is where I left my seat, went downstairs for a piss, took nearly a minute to coax
the old fella out.
And got back into my seat just as it came up on the screen, challenge inconclusive.
Oh, God.
Are you enjoying that, Mr. London, the video quality over here compared to...
I'm not watching it in real time anymore. I delay kickoff by 35 minutes and that and I can just fast forward through all the rubbish.
Sam, thanks very much indeed for joining us. That was one heck of a game to watch from our perspective. What was it like for you?
Yeah, it was enjoyable to watch at times. I thought we started the game really well and we came here with a great attitude because I think York are a great side. As we can see tonight, they can score, you know, some great points. I was disappointed in some areas of our game, but in the first half, I thought we were actually really good, apart from about 4 or 5 minutes. Just shows you that momentum can swing really quick. But also for us, it's a great reality check. We've got a lot of work in our game to do. Tonight will be a good thing for us.
Sam, pre-game and earlier in the week, you mentioned about not quite putting together an 80-minute performance, and that was an area that you were looking to fix up. And I suppose there tonight, you know, you allowed the York back into this contest twice. Does that concern you at all?
Not concern me at all. I think it's great. Actually, gives me something to work on still. Gives the group something to get better at. And I do like the fact that we probably had to win the game three times. We got in front, let them back in front again, and then let them back in. So, you know, there's a lot to like of it. I don't like the points scored, if I'm being honest. But this time of the year, it's important to pick up the 2 points and come away healthy.
In a general term of watching the game, it felt like it was a very fast game. It felt like a very quick game, very end-to-end. I would imagine very enjoyable for a neutral, very messy. Frustrating, mm-hmm. Very frustrating for us. Mm. When you get a 14, 16 point lead and lose that lead twice. Mm. So, I mean, that's poor. I felt we've once again looked open to the wide ball, you know, that big long rangy pass, when we seem to be jamming in defence when we're near our line.
You called it the umbrella defence.
Is that the singing in the rain approach, is it, Sam?
The singing in the rain, yes, exactly. And right. As the NRL boys were delighted in calling it last year.
Today?
Well, yes, you have lots of drugs. For my man flu. For my man flu.
So press the emergency button.
There you go.
Where were you?
As the NRL commentators used to call it last year, that rainbow pass where the pass loops up and over and the wingers are going in. Mm. So I felt we still look a bit open to that. But the thing I did notice and made sure I wanted to say tonight is, did Harry...
Sam, sorry, just before you carry on, you clearly got the message off Michel Cartier, didn't you, about trying to do a four-hour podcast. Is that
yes.
Right?
Oh. Yes.
I thought we were going to get through this really quickly tonight. We'd be done within 40 minutes. He's on one, isn't he?
Yes.
This is my last one. Did Harry send a message to the WhatsApp group?
Oh.
Because the week before he said... He thought Sam Stone gave nothing going forward. Or did he WhatsApp Sam Stone and tell Sam Stone that he
I like how you've deflected
forward.
This, because but didn't you both agree that Harrison and Stone have gotten offered nothing offensively? And then I was the one defending him, and I said, oh, well, Stone does. And there you go, 2 tries. I didn't put any money on him, by the way.
It was only York, though, wasn't it?
It was only York. That. It was only York.
What do you mean by that? That'd be York, yeah.
What's the where do we feel these three performances have gone in Super League? Because the first game against St. Helens was pretty good, right? I mean, forget the atmosphere and everything else, but the actual performance was pretty good.
Particularly the first 40 minutes, yes.
Wakefield was okay.
Yes.
Do you remember?
York was average. If we just drew a little line on a graph, are we going the right way?
Well, I could draw a graph.
Every graph you draw has got a penis on it, hasn't it?
You've seen it. dear. No, but, York have performed quite well. I think we all thought they were going to fall off a cliff, as most of the teams that come up do.
You did.
No, I know I did, but that's just because they haven't got a depth of, squad sort of thing. And you'd think they'd get a few injuries, they'd be knackered.
Well,
but
it's a year of attrition, isn't it?
I thought they played with great speed comparatively. I'm not talking about NRL speed. They were a quicker team than I expected, and they threw the ball around a lot more than I expected. They were very they were very positive in attack and caused us problems.
Right. Okay. They had better possession, 51% to 49%. I don't believe this is right. Completion rate, Warrington, 99%.
No, that because can't be. I can think of two straight away. Keitel-Array dropping the ball as he's running off his line, and Philbin dropped the ball. So there's two incompletes.
Well, if you've had 200 plays, that's still 99%.
But we didn't, did we?
No, plays, did we didn't. Have? 178, so it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Post-contact meters, I'm getting a bit worried about, Sam. In every game, even though we've made more meters, we're not making the same post-contact meters as our opposition. This one, we just beat them, but they've had less carries. They did 482, we did 490. But they're 16 carries down on us. I just feel that pack needs to get on the front foot a bit more. We're going to be caught out against the better teams. Who are those better teams? Because this year it doesn't seem that there are many good teams. Is this?
I tell you what, you're stealing all of my thunder for later on.
It just feels that there's just no real quality or depth this year. I mean, Leeds, I thought they were going to be the real deal, but you know they got thumped on the weekend.
What about Wigan? Are they not?
Wigan are great. Like Wigan are great. I don't understand. I don't recognise that Wigan team. It's just got loads. Got loads of youth in it. It's just
Do they look like locusts or something?
They look like they've picked the best of the best, as they always do.
Okay. You didn't get what I meant there. I was moving on from wasps and bees, and I went, because they were red and white, you know. But anyway, I think you've got basically Leeds who are going to be really going to be pushing it, I think. As I tipped at the start of the year, if you remember rightly. Who did you tip? Do you remember? You don't remember the
Wakefield games. Hull KR. Wigan, they were the two that I said would be there, and they will be.
Yeah. Okay.
Other Super League round four results, Wakefield 14, Hull 10, Lee 16, Catalans 22, Toulouse 16, Wigan 36, St. Helens 26, Bradford 22. Saints were 16, 4 down in that game, and I think they were also down towards the end. Huddersfield 6. What's the point? Huddersfield 6, Hull KR 32.
Fucking shit.
What is the point? What is the point of them? Get rid of them. God.
There's
no one goes. Ralph. No one goes. And they're shit. And they're just God. Just get it off your shoe. You've stepped in it. And you just want to get rid of it. God, there must be someone. Why don't we bring in the Cumbrian Otters instead of Huddersfield? Anything would be better than that.
Jersey Cows.
I'm going to say.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Peffers sounds better.
And then Leeds 22, Castleford 4, Sebo with another hat trick. I have looked at some of his hat tricks, and I reckon I could have scored at least one of his hat tricks. Like, they're not. Jesus. They're not full length, as are they? He's just flopping over the line.
Mm.
Although with me, Dickie Ankle, no, probably couldn't. But anything on those results, Sam? Anything?
I thought St. Helens were very lucky. Mm. Basically, I only watched the second half of that game.
Did Bradford have someone sent off as well?
That's why I thought Saints were very lucky, because Bradford had someone sent off correctly. And then about 5 minutes later, Saints had a guy sin-binned, and I felt he should have been sent off. And you know it's quite bad when either Terry or Barry, they both merge into one these days.
Are they both still the tackle. On, those two? Barry still
He saw whichever one of them it was, saw the tackle, and he just says, "Oh, I don't like those tackles." And that's about as near to criticism as he gets.
Was this the one where he's coming third man in on a standing man in a tackle?
And of course, St. Helens go back to full strength and just about win the game.
It's not working for them yet, is it, at Saints? They seem to be missing a few superstars. Not quite there.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Wire advanced to the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup after a dominant display against the Goole Vikings, finishing with an emphatic 78-10 victory. There were tries for Josh Thulis, his brother Jake Thulis scored two, Smith scored two, Wood, Crowther, Walker, Harrison, Webster, Hartle, Hayes and Irwin all scored. Wow, lots of tries. Irwin kicked 12 from 12. Referee was Tara Jones. Attendance a healthy 3,195 lined the Goole pockets, having them switch the game to the Halliwell Jones. However, despite the convincing performance, the win was marred by injuries to Toa Foa-Foa-Sipley and Geordie Crowther. I think we've just been given an update on that just before we've gone to record. I think Sipley's 8 weeks, is he? I don't know about Crowther.
Oh, I heard 6 weeks earlier today, okay. But it's clearly not a short one, is it?
Warrington will face Lee in the last eight with a home tie at the Halliwell Jones on either the 11th or 12th of April. Now, none of us went. You could pay for it online, apparently. I think it was £9.99.
I did.
Mm. Oh, you did?
You did?
Yeah. Oh. Now, genuinely, I was going to
send me the password.
Didn't send me the time.
Genuinely.
Send it to me.
Genuinely, I was very poorly.
So you've treated yourself. You treated yourself with that.
I did it, and I took a download, got it set up, took my laptop round to my poor old little mum, because she likes the rugby.
Infected her with what you've got.
Yeah. Giving her your flu.
Yeah, mum, I have flu. How old's your mum?
86.
Yeah, mum, I'm full of flu. I've come round to give you the flu.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
So, I do keep telling you what this place in France, don't I?
Ah, right. Ooh. Yes.
Dear.
Yes. So, I set it up and she watched it, really enjoyed it. She said it never dropped out once.
What, your dick or the signal? Which one?
This is my mother we're talking about.
You're the one coaxing it out.
Could I ask if you've got this statistic? Was that Tara Jones the first officiated rugby league match with a female?
No. God, no.
No.
Isn't it? I think so. No. Yeah. They've been refereeing for years now, ever since that suffragette ran out in front of Ryan Hall and got mowed down. They've been able to referee for a long time. Oh, Dennis has gone. His bladder's gone.
Forget the guy's name now, and I forget his daughter as well. But
is a good in story, then, isn't it? I forget the guy's name. I forget his daughter. I've forgotten the story.
Jeez, have we got nothing on this podcast of for our listeners to sort of go, we should really listen to them, really inform people on the What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast. Actually, this is a good time to ask for patrons, isn't it, with this shit?
Right, good draw, right? Lee in the next round.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Home draw's always good, and we've avoided Wigan, so that's good.
A home draw, they will fancy that they've got a chance against us, and we'll clearly fancy that at home we've got a chance against them.
They haven't got any team, though, because they're not winning the Super League of attrition, are they, this year? They're really struggling with that.
So. Exactly.
And there's no nutrition in Lee, so we've covered both of those off. So. After retiring last year, aged just 23, ex-Wire player Connor Wrench has returned to Super League. The former outside back made 55 appearances for Warrington, scoring 22 tries. Following talks with several clubs, Wrench has agreed to join the Huddersfield Giants.
Depressing. God, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
I hope he doesn't listen to you say, what is the point of the Huddersfield Giants having just signed for them?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we wish him luck, yeah? Wish him all the best. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Good on him. Former Warrington star Matty Nicholson has suffered another injury setback in the NRL. The Canberra Raiders back rower has re-aggravated a shoulder problem while playing in the New South Wales Cup and could require surgery. Nicholson had already endured a tough run down under after breaking his fibula last season, which kept him out for several months. Just not going for him, is it? Not struggling.
It's not.
Did he have injuries with us? Was he in and out with us, or don't remember.
Did he have a shoulder problem at one point? I'm sure he was out for a while with a shoulder. Mm. We don't know. Why are you asking us? We don't know fuck all.
And finally, One-time wire flyer and Olympic sprinter Mattiaki Maffi has won Best of Breeder Crofts with his Neapolitan Mastiff. Maffi said on winning, "Growing up in Tonga, I never had a pet dog. Over there, they are not really seen in the same way as they are in this country. I cannot play rugby or sprint anymore, so dog showing is how I get the chance to do something competitive."
Can you say that his name and the dog all in one go?
Mattiaki Maffi, Neapolitan Mastiff.
Right, very good. That's so good, isn't it?
I'd have thought his love of Neapolitan Mastiffs didn't come from rugby, but from drinking orange juice in Mr. Smith's and going home with a few hairy growlers. I've come up with a few other players that could probably, you know, show dogs off at Crufts. I've gone Leon Hayes. I've gone a Caucasian shepherd dog, the Russian shepherd dog, which I think Mrs. Waywell had, didn't she, Dennis, at one point? Wasn't that the one that you had to get rid of, that you couldn't get through the front door?
Newfoundland. Yeah.
They're on average, they're 120 to 140 kilos. I thought that'd be fun watching that. Take Leon Hayes round the ring.
Yes, yeah. Would he be riding it? Yeah.
Kai Taylor-Ray. I've gone Border Collie. I just think they both they go together.
Yeah.
Stefan Ratchford, Afghan Hound. You know, the sort of long face.
Yeah, but it's quite straight, though, isn't it, the Afghan Hound's nozzle?
Yeah, yes. Steve Price. I've gone Mongrel. I said mongrel. Did the mic pick that up? Yeah.
Yes, right. It did. Just yeah. About.
Yeah. Professor Broomhead, Saint Bernard, has to be, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And the last one, I've gone Fitzy, Scrappy Doo, because they're both fucking annoying.
Spent some time there, haven't you? that's the dogging section over.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Well, statistics is sort of back. We've touched on it already. We've hinted at it already. I wanted to see what we thought of Warrington's start to the season in the round. And of course, man of the moment, who again we've talked about a bit, Kai Taylor-Ray, the good, the bad and the ugly. Of him, the good fourth. He's played one game fewer than most of the other players, and he's fourth overall in meters made.
One game fewer than Thulis. Could you put that in a sentence for me?
Oh well, I could do. I could put it in a sentence.
Save it for the patron.
I'll save it for the Christmas edition. Okay, two tries, two assists in three games. Seventh overall in clean breaks, but leading the league in average gains per carry.
Oh.
So clearly the lad has got something. Absolutely clearly he's got something.
We have done the good, bad and the ugly before, haven't we? This is a real...
Are we doing the good, bad and the ugly? Oh, let me get that soundbite ready.
I can see his face going, that's another fucking job I've got to do for this bloody podcast.
Yeah, you've already come out with Singing in the Rain. I was like, oh, I've got to find that one.
He's only made, this is interesting, he's only made two official errors. That's so he's only actually made two errors. So one of them was dropping the ball off his Oh, coming off
his
line.
Because he gets nowhere near that up and under. So it's well, not actually classed
exactly.
as an error.
Mm. Now, exactly. Ah. And that's what's in. So even at York, he made that fabulous break in the second half. Mm. But that break came from him allowing the ball to bounce and taking the ball after it bounced.
Right.
And I felt at York, he's standing a long, long way back, probably being overly conservative. And I wonder whether he's being conservative because he has got a weakness under the high ball.
Is this to be backed up with statistics at some point? Because you've been going on for
start.
A while. Oh, right. Okay.
When he comes back off his injury, we're going to start. Okay?
What do you mean, we?
All right, aye. So, really, I'm going on to say, you can learn to position yourself better and you can learn to catch better, but you can't learn that eye for a gap, that explosion of speed. He's got the guy for the gap. He's got the explosion of speed. We've looked for him to improve over 12 to 24 months in his defensive play.
This is what happened to Sam Tompkins when he was at the Warriors. My friend who's avid Warriors fan. When Tompkins arrived at the Warriors, little kicks through into the try area, he would get to first, and he got absolutely smashed at the Warriors. For about the first 5 or 6 weeks, he got absolutely, they were big, and he suddenly wasn't big enough to play on our own. And then all of a sudden, for the rest of the season, he went missing. Every little kick that went through, he never quite got there. It was always the attacking player would get the ball down first, and then Tompkins would come in with his feet like he always does. But he just lost his nerve. I understand why I want to put my head there. I know it is with him, but it's similar, isn't it? It's like
that's the concern we've got. That's the question mark.
Let's move myself away from it far enough so I don't look like I can get to it.
Yeah.
So, I don't blame the kid.
So
that's tiny.
The mark.
Yeah. It's tiny.
And the ugly bit, which we've already talked about, is the injuries. And I don't know whether you want to play it again. But unfortunately, Mr. London did have a very succinct 15 seconds or so from, I think it was the first episode that you sent to us, didn't you, where you said he'll score some worldies, he'll get people off their feet, but he'll drop some ball and he'll get injured. So it's very early, but we're hoping he's going to be more worldies and more getting people off his feet and fewer episodes of dropping the ball. So that's Kai. Played 5-1-5, and if we've got anything about us, we will win this weekend at home to Castleford. Obviously, we discussed that earlier, but should be played 6-1-6. Now, two of those games are against lower league Challenge Cup opposition, but it would still be played 6-1-6. And I wonder whether, in the round, you think we've been better than you would have expected this year so far, worse or about the same?
Oh, is this a quiz? I'm just getting my pen.
I don't think
okay. it is. No, just don't an opinion. Excited, it's Dennis. Not a quiz. It is.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching Dennis's face through this section, and he looks like a man who's gone to a conference. It's day two. All he wants to get to is the buffet. He's just looking at his watch going, oh, I wish this had finished.
Yeah. Oh. I'm waiting for the numbers. Is there any numbers in this statistics section?
No numbers.
In 2023, we won our first 8 games and it ended up with Powell being sacked. In 2024, we won 8 out of our first 10 games and it ended up with us going close in the semi-final against Hull KR. And last year, we won 7 out of our first 10. And we ended up with a bit of a shit show towards the back, end.
Take out the bit.
Okay. Yeah. We ended up with a shit show at the back end of the thing. So winning 6 out of 6 at the minute at Warrington Wolves is no guarantee that the rest of the season is going to be success. However, when we did the first episode... And everyone said where they thought we'd finish. We said seventh, behind Hull and Lee. Are you prepared to revise that upwards and we'll finish above Hull and Lee, or are you not prepared to change your opinion yet?
That's a good question, that is.
Far too early. I'm sticking exactly with what I've said. I don't.
How many games would you say then, Rob, before you sort of thought, I'll make a judgment on where we'll finish?
Well, Premier League table, I never look at. You never looked at until after Christmas, did you? That was always the same. Never look after Christmas. But we're playing summer rugby. When does the season finish? October.
Yeah.
When's Easter? Easter's early this year. No, it's
too early. Yeah.
Shrove Tuesday. Have we had that yet?
No, we've had that. We've had that.
Lent. What about Lent?
International Women's Day.
When's that?
No, and don't say the men's. That's November. We've already
Henley Regatta. When's Henley Regatta?
Well, that sounds good. That might be about April.
I've always said this. I never look at the table before Henley Regatta.
How about round 17, which is the magic weekend on July the 4th?
I give a shit about the magic weekend. We should get rid of that. Burn the magic weekend. Pathetic. Room 101, Huddersfield Giants, magic weekend. There we go. I've done me three this week.
Boom. Right. Final couple of quick points. The three promoted teams played 12, won 6, 50% record. Not sure anyone would have said that. And finally, just for Dennis and the topic of this episode so far, attrition or nutrition.
Oh, right.
Good Googling. Apparently 89 players are unavailable for selection across Super League this weekend. 89
and I've got
players.
Right. Well, actually, there's so many synchronicities. I've got that topic in tackle bags today, tackle gags today. Okay. So
What's that? Attrition or nutrition? Which one?
No, this thing I've Googled, so we'll be all right. So in summary, Sam, nothing to report as yet.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That was the most wishy-washy statistics we've ever had.
I think we're better. Personally, I think we're better than expected so far, but we're still shipping points. We're scoring 30 points.
Shipping points.
Shipping 20 points a game.
Excellent.
Right, should we have a bit of Daniel?
In 27th place is Wires current captain George Williams. This may come as a surprise to some fans, but I personally rate Williams highly, and I think he has been a pretty consistent performer for us since joining midway through 2021 season. Slotting a winning drop goal at Headingley on debut, he produced one of Wire's most iconic moments 3 years later in similar fashion, nailing a Golden Point drop goal to beat St Helens in the 2024 playoffs. What I really like about Williams is his toughness. I've rarely ever seen a Wire halfback so strong in defence and so willing to put his head and body where it hurts for the team. So far, he has made 108 appearances and scored 38 tries. Position number 26 sees a blast from the past in Paul Scunthorpe. The English loose forward made his Wire debut in 1995, and though he only stayed until 1997, made quite an impact. 72 appearances and 17 tries before the age of 20, and then a major transfer to St Helens, who paid a then record fee for a forward to bring him from Wire to Saints. Scunthorpe went on to win the Man of Steel award twice with Saints, where he enjoyed many successes. It must not be forgotten though that Wire was where he started, and in 1996 he was the first Wire player ever to be named in Super League's Dream Team. I think Mr. Sam Sankey will be pleased with this because in 25th place is Brent Gross. Sam mentioned how much he liked him as a player last week and hopes that he would be somewhere in the countdown, and I knew at the time of hearing that he would be in the very next instalment. The Australian fullback joined from South Sydney for the 2003 season and remained at the club until 2007. Gross made 146 appearances and scored 62 Wire tries, and made himself known for his quick decision-making, smart plays and sleight of hand. Gross was talented at finding a gap to go through and was one of the most entertaining players to watch in the early days of the Halliwell Jones era. See you next time then for part 3.
Well, there he is as he carries his countdown down from 30 to 1 of Wire's best ever players, according to Daniel, in the summer rugby era. 27, George Williams. 26, Paul Sculthorpe. 25, ooh, Brent Gross.
I'd agree with 2 out of 3. I don't know how George Williams gets that nod. I don't know
how Scully doesn't get in the top 5.
Yeah, true.
For me personally, he mentioned Gross. I always liked him. I always thought he had a bit of class.
Gross was under the radar, but Scully.
Yes.
26th.
Come back to Sculthorpe in just 1 second. Williams, I understand what Daniel is saying, that he's brave and he puts his head in, but I want more from a superstar, in inverted commas, halfback. Yeah. Paul Sculthorpe, perhaps for me, given his age at the time, the best forward I've seen, best English forward I've seen playing for Warrington. Now, I know we've had Morley and people like that, but I mean, at his age, yeah, 18 and 19, when we were watching him, yeah, effectively carry a poor Warrington pack.
Yeah. And we had, when we had Anderson on, he said, who was the one player he takes to the NRL? He said Sculthorpe.
Yeah.
What page was that on?
What a rotten stroke of luck. Just as we'd open for business, the wheels fell off the cart. I haven't seen such disability since they tried to move the Warrington Guardian building on roller skates back in 1981.
Oh, don't worry, Ralph. We can easily move on from this knacker's yard and go completely international.
Oh, what on earth are you talking about, Samuel?
Oh, come on, Ralpho. I'm odds on favourite to land the England job.
Oh, but surely, Samuel, if you can't run this Warrington rag and bone shop, why would they ever trust you as the nation's people's princess?
Because since you left the RFL, Ralpho, no one had a clue.
Oh, well, yes, I can see the RFL has lost its way, but I'm rather busy with the Huddersfield Giants in my new strategy, Giants Unleashed. And as I quoted in on the website, I said, will this happen overnight? No. Will things go wrong on occasion? Yes. Will we still lose games? Well, unfortunately, yes. Are we entering an exciting new chapter? And I say, in an apocryphal sense, we are. Anyway, talking of strategists, Samuel, do you have a strategy to land that appointment?
All I need to do, Ralpho, is flirt with that Jennifer Bruquette on Sky and avoid answering any of her difficult questions by deflecting them to baby talk. And the job's mine.
Oh, Tacklesacks, you dirty old man. Oh, can you believe it, Samuel? You couldn't put a foot right in Australia. I mean, let's face it. Your hotshot lawyer, Brian Wrench, spent more time defending your courtside than Jimmy Connors. Ah, now look at you. You move back to Blighty, and no matter how incompetent you are, no shit sticks, and there's boots and all promotion. Oh, but who'll look after the Wolves scrapyard, Samuel? You know, once you've took GB down.
My sidekick, Steve. I mean, let's face it, Longfall. He's doing all the hard yards anyway.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. You've spent half a pre-season lying on a beach and you've come back and taken more credit than Rumbelows. Oh, if only we'd known, Sammy, it would have all worked out perfectly for you.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Poor old Ralphie, just left to muse on about Huddersfield and what is he doing there at all?
Well, you could genuinely, all those points that he made in that script were the points that's on the Huddersfield Giants website. And that's exactly the right statement. I could not fucking believe it. Comedy gold.
Oh dear.
When is he coming on the podcast?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Tickleband. Irishman the Scotsman and the Englishman Cobb of the Cannibals. He says to the Scotsman, "Where do you come from?" He says, "Glasgow." He said, "Stick him in the pot." He said to the second fellow, "Where do you come from?" He said, "I come from London." He said, "Stick him in the pot." He says to the Irishman, "Where do you come from?" He says, "Dublin." He said, "Let him go." So the cannibal says to the chief, he says, "Why are you going to let that fella go?" He said, "Well, the last fellow I had from Dublin in the pot, he ate all the bloody potatoes."
This week on Tackle Gags, we try to make light of no lights. No laughing matter for players on the sidelines this week. And do we need investment from Hollywood stars?
Oh.
So this is where we're going this week. So we'll end on a happy note because I just felt like, you know, the way we left Tackle Gags last week after Rob ranted for 10 minutes.
Well, that's why I put Frank Carson in this week because he's very upbeat, isn't he? Very jovial. Yeah.
Can I ask, just before you go on, Dennis, apologies for interrupting, but Rob, are you finding it difficult to find broadcastable jokes from that era?
Only Bernard Manning's I was struggling with.
Oh,
I've got a Bernard Manning one in, but I don't really want to play it. I don't think it's going to get passed.
Oh, I know when that will come out. I can imagine. I can already hear Sam Burgess saying something in a post-match interview. That'll be the week. Anyway, so let's make a start here. The floodlights, it appears that Professor Broomhead Effect reached the DIY Kitchen Stadium last week, where after 6 minutes, the game was thrown into darkness. A 25-minute delay ensued after you'll like this, Rob, being an engineer, unforeseen isolated cable fault was the cause of the disruption. What did you have unforeseen, you had any then?
Unforeseen cable fault. Well, that means they couldn't find it, could they? Could they not find it because it was pitch black?
Well, it does say it was isolated cable fault, so it could.
I mean, I would like to say that Sharon Shortall, you know, she got the teams wrong when the lights were off, but she didn't.
Yeah.
She got them in the first 30 seconds. She got very confused.
Questions have been raised about the health and safety of the DIY kitchen stadium, with some experts saying do-it-yourself stadium builds should not be attempted by amateur clubs. In light of the case of this, only qualified electricians should be used to install the floodlights, following the revelation that it was indeed an extension cable that was used with a 3-amp fuse that was usually borrowed from the Wakefield Trophy Cabinet lighting system, thought to be obsolete. So that was the reason that went there. So again, these floodlights are really making a name for themselves, aren't they, in Super League this year? I think it's quite good. Although that was Challenge Cup.
I've ordered it arrives today, actually. Got it on eBay. I got it from Amazon. I've got a Tesla coil coming today. You seen them?
Ooh. Oh. Is that so you don't get pregnant? Something.
You have a look at it. I'll order you one.
Oh,
change your world.
What is a Tesla coil? Oh, I know what a Tesla coil. You mean Nikola Tesla, don't you?
It's like lightning, and it like takes all the sort of certain things out of the air. And
Nikola Tesla. That is not
lethal
thing. Other news: players out this week. Love Rugby League are reporting that 89 players, as you say, Sam, are basically out through injury. Or HIA, and this also, in addition, the RFL have sort of issued 14 players with fines and bans in round three already, 14 of them, so there's quite a lot of points building up there for potential bans. So how long will it be before we see the academy sides playing? Now, I didn't think that was that many, but then I had a look at, there was 420, roughly, players registered in Super League. That's 20% injured by week three. So as an attritional rate, as an attritional rate, that is going to be quite...
Have we stocked a lot of players? Have we like got a lot of Burton Wood in a hanger ready to pull out?
Yes, that's a good idea, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Anyway, help is available this week. Aldi are relaunching their inflatable ice bath. You could go into your local Aldi and get yourself one. $24.99. The Tritech puncture resistant bath is 86 centimetres by 86 centimetres by 78 centimetres and can take an average rugby league player or two Leon Hayes's. So you can put it in your back garden, 24. And that hopefully might help with some sort of, nutritional value in your muscles as you get in your ice bath so you don't become an attritional nutritional the week after. So there you go. And finally, are you ready for this, lads? Might need to borrow your brains here. Following a recent discussion with Mrs. Waywell this week, where we discussed investment opportunities for rugby league, because like, there's all this talk out there about the NRL taking over and stuff, she suggested, is there no arrangement like the Wrexham football team, you know, where you've got Ryan Reynolds who's bought it?
Yeah.
And the other one as well, Swansea have got Snoop Dogg now as a minority owner.
That's another
recent one. And I said, well, yes, but...
Snoop Dogg, not a Neapolitan Mastiff.
No, it's definitely a Snoop Dogg. And I said, well, who would you ask and like, what would the team be? And she quite wittily, I thought, came back with this. She said, Brad Pitt Bulls. So
that's very good, isn't it?
Very good to give it. Yes.
You know, it fits in with today's theme as well. Yeah. So I thought, well, of course I'm thinking of Warrington. So I thought, David Warrington Wolves. You know, David Warrington out of Rising Damp.
Oh, he's dead.
Is he?
I think so.
Well, anyway, it would have been a good one if he was still alive. Yeah. I've got a few more for you now. And I've got a few more for you. Rod Hull KR. Roy Huddersfield Giants. I mean, it gets a bit sketchy after this point.
Who's Roy Hud? Who are you referring to?
Roy Hud. Roy Hud. Remember the guy who used to do
EMU.
Oh, the one.
No, that was
Oh no! The Hoodlines, the comedian.
Yeah, he used to do things at the theatre and stuff. Don't worry about it. The next one is this one's a bit of a stretch. Christopher Leopards.
Oh, fuck it! That's what it's come to. But,
get it together, Dennis. Get it together.
Yeah, it's going to struggle. No, I've got one here. Come on. I've got one. what's this one? Oh, yeah. Bradley Wiggins Warriors.
He's not a film star. Doesn't he ride bikes?
Roy Castleford Tigers. I started to give up and I only got Matalan Dragons. So I thought I moved Matalan. On to supermarkets. Yeah. So, I couldn't think of any others. That was it. Can you think of anything for Leeds Rhinos or anyone else have missed?
Hattie, Wakefield. Hattie Gateshead. Hattie, no.
I was just thinking, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there's a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Just the one game to predict, and that's another home fixture, this time against a struggling Castleford. The match gets underway at HJ on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Now, you had a win last week, Sam, for the York game.
Hooray!
You managed to win £1.64.
Woohoo!
So you moved up to £103.47. Dennis lost £27. I lost £100, but I'm still above a grand. So I think you can go first, Sam, with your flush winnings. What are you going to go for?
Well, let's just let the listener see behind the curtain, and Mr. London every week puts a little ditty at the footer of each of his running orders. And this week's little ditty is, will Mr. Sankey bet more than 50p this week?
Hasn't gone unnoticed.
Well, I've got £3.47 to play with by the looks of it.
Right.
Castleford have struggled so far this year, albeit they've played Saints, Leeds and Wigan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they've also lost to Toulouse. Mm. But I'm going to say, if we have got anything about us at all, we're winning this game by 16 points.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay on the happy train. I'm going to stay on the hype train, and I'm going to bet £20 on Warrington to win.
Very good. Very good.
Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Who's your first try scorer?
And I'll go that £3.47 bit.
Yeah.
I will go on the first try scorer.
Yeah.
No, £3.47.
£3.47. Right.
Why are you put your glasses on.
He won £3.64, but go on, yeah.
No. The balance that I'm at is £103.
Oh, sorry, right. Sorry, you're going off your balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So £3.47, and I will go on Josh Smith.
Right, he's putting £3.47 on there. Yeah. Dennis,
well done.
I mean,
you shouldn't be losing this game at home, should you? Especially with you know, are you going, Sam? Just, I'd like to know if you're there.
Yes, I'll be going, of course.
Yeah. 3 o'clock on a Saturday, though. It's a bit of a funny
3 o'clock on a Saturday, yes.
I might be struggling to watch that.
2 a.m., no chances of watching that.
So I will go for a £5 win on Warrington, because no return on that. And I will go £15 on Tanganoa.
Right.
Ooh,
who's coming off
very
the bench
good.
Again.
Like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, as Sam's just said, we should win this, right? If we're not winning this, there's something seriously wrong. Obviously, we'll have Thulis at fullback, I presume. Ashton may be back. Yeah. Sipley will be gone, but I hear Wood had an excellent game against the Ghoulies.
He did, yeah.
So hopefully he plays Wood and Wood shines.
Bentley, possibly.
Bentley, not a massive fan of Bentley. Still on the fence about whether Bentley's worth even signing. But nevertheless, I will have £900 on Warrington. And I'll have £5 on Stone.
Okay, he's coming round now. He's coming round.
I'm sort of hoping that we might lose in Golden Point now.
Wow.
You probably still have more money than you.
Yeah, I will have more money. I did it that way, so make sure that I'm still ahead of him. Okay, fair enough.
And I can't remember because I didn't prep being asked to be someone mentioned that, but you say you might struggle to watch it. I have a feeling it's on BBC or at least on iPlayer. I have a feeling.
Oh, well, I've struggled to watch it. I'm just not going to get up at 2 a.m. to watch it. That's what.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. is the mitigating factor, isn't it?
I watch it in the morning. I'll do me lightly, lads. Keep away from Brian Glover and I'll watch it in the morning. That'll be it. Okay, that's it. We'll be back this time next week for Wire's trip to Headingley. So until then, it's a good night from me and it's a good night from them.
Good night.
Good seeing you.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Oh, I feel guilty about what I said about Sharon Shortle now.
No, you can edit that. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? I don't quite know how to say three words are said to